Hi, Tim Roy for Warriors.com and Warriors Sound as we continue to mock the 2020 NBA Draft. And we are now up to pick number 8, and the New York Knicks are on the clock. Let's run down how the mock draft has gone so far. With the overall number 1 selection, the Minnesota Timberwolves took Anthony Edwards out of Georgia. The Golden State Warriors, picking 2, took James Wiseman of Memphis, the 7-footer. And picking 3, the Charlotte Hornets went for a West Coast player, Onyeka Okongwu of USC. The Chicago Bulls were happy to have LaMelo Ball fall to them at number 4, having played overseas in Australia last year. The Cleveland Cavaliers at 5 stayed local, and they took Obi Toppin of Dayton, a good 4-year player. Atlanta went international with their pick, and they took Killian Hayes, a big point guard from France, which might be able to allow Trae Young to play off the ball more. And then Detroit on the clock, and they took a forward who could guard multiple positions. That is Patrick Williams of Florida State. So the New York Knicks are on the clock right now. Ian Begley joins us from New York, works for SNY and covers the New York Knicks. And Ian, first of all, thank you so much for helping us out. And I've been asking everybody this, so I'll ask you, how are you surviving 2020?
Well, my family and I, we're taking it day by day. I think just like everybody else, trying to stay safe and healthy and hoping for the best. I think that's all we can do with the craziness of the past few months, but I appreciate you asking.
Let's talk about the Knicks, and obviously Tom Thibodeau comes in, and he is the new head coach, and he's a guy that has had some pedigree in New York in the past, and he's also a guy that believes in a lot of defense. What was the reaction from Knick fans of that move, and what kind of an impact do you think Tibbs will have there?
Yeah, I think most Knick fans approved of the move. You know, it's a rabid fan base. It's a fan base that hasn't had much success at all over the last 20 years, so I don't think you're going to get a consensus on any move. But by and large, I think people see Thibodeau and they see a coach who has produced elite defenses, who's had success on offense, and has put teams in the playoffs. And so I think what kind of impact you can expect from Tom Thibodeau is for him to play players who are going to defend for him, who are going to not take possessions off. And I think you can also expect the Knicks, I don't think they're going to be tanking here, Sam Hinkie style. I think they're going to try to put together a roster that can compete as quickly as possible. And I think what you could expect from them, that has to do with Thibodeau a little bit, because I think he wants to win. I think Leon Rose wants to win. And I think that what you can expect this offseason is for them to try to make an incremental jump and then put themselves in play for potential players who become available next offseason.
Yeah, hopefully by then we'll be back on a regular schedule at that point. And supposedly next year's draft looks very good. Now, if you were looking at the roster per se, you know, what areas would they like to upgrade at?
Yeah, from what I had heard, even before Leon Rose took over and in the aftermath, was they can find a guard that complements R.J. Barrett well, a lead guard, they'd be interested in that. If they could find a 4 who can knock down a perimeter shot, they'd be interested in that. And everyone else, including the Knicks, I think, is looking for the wing that can compete on both ends of the floor, switch on defense. So I think those are the areas that you're looking at. Maybe backup center, too, but I doubt that that position would get filled in the draft.
Now, as you look at the roster, do they have free agents that they want to re-sign?
Yeah, well, they have got – what they have is players who have team options on their deals for next season. So I think some of it will depend on what they think they can get done in free agency. If they want to clear up cap space, they can clear up as much as, I think, $40 million, maybe more in cap space, depending on what they do. They have a restricted free agent, who could be a restricted free agent, Damian Dotson. I would expect him to get a qualifying offer. But really, the offseason and the cap space situation hinges on what they decide to do with those team options on players like Bobby Portis, Alfred Payton, Wayne Ellington, Taj Gibson. If they decline those options, they could open up a bunch of cap space. They may pick the options up and then decide to trade, include those players in different trades. So many ways they could go when it comes to cap space, free agency, and all that.
Outside of R.J. Barrett, do they have any untouchables on the roster?
You know, I don't even think R.J. Barrett – I mean, listen, they like R.J. Barrett a lot. They like Mitchell Robinson a lot. But when you've struggled for as long as the Knicks have struggled, you're coming off a 21-45 season. I don't think anybody's untouchable. You know, if the right deal came about that returned a young star player to the Knicks in a trade and it took an R.J. Barrett or a Mitchell Robinson to get the deal done, you know, I think you strongly consider that deal. But I would put R.J. Barrett and Mitchell Robinson on a list of players the Knicks would have a hard time parting with via trade. It would have to be an incredible return in a trade if you're putting either of those two in the deal.
Now, you know, one thing I think I can speak for Dub Nation out here is that they certainly know what Knicks fans are going through. When I got to the Warriors in 95, the Warriors did not make the playoffs till 2006, 2007. And then after that didn't make the playoffs until 2012, 2013. So it was a long stretch there, a long stretch. How are Knicks fans holding up? Because like Warrior fans, I think it's an intelligent fan base, and you can't really fool them. They know what good basketball looks like.
They do, and I think they are hopeful that with this new regime in place, Leon Rose, Brock Aller, William Wesley, Scott Perry returning as GM, Tom Thibodeau as the head coach, they're hopeful that this group can put the Knicks on a path to success. They're hopeful that owner James Dolan continues to write the checks and then lets the basketball people make the basketball decisions, and those decisions bear fruit. So I think there's always optimism when you have a regime change, when you have a coaching change, when you have a change of your president of basketball operations. Now, that optimism will be short-lived in New York if moves don't produce success on the court. Knicks fans will be patient until there's enough reason to be impatient. So I think you'll have a bit of a long leash if you're this new regime. But Knicks fans want to see progression. They don't want to see things stay stagnant, or they don't want to see these young players backslide. If you're giving them a lot of minutes on the floor, then they will start to lose their patience.
So, Ian Begley from SNY covering the New York Knicks, if the RMAC draft comes out this way and the Knicks are making this pick, where do they go?
Yeah, I think it's a choice between Isaac Okoro and Tyrese Haliburton. I mean, I know the Knicks like Carl Lewis Jr. at point guard, but I don't know if they like him enough to take him at 8. I know they like Tyrese Maxey out of Kentucky. I don't know if they like him enough to take him at 8. I know they like Devin Vassell. But I think, you know, Isaac Okoro, if you're talking about Tom Thibodeau, he's a player who I think Thibodeau would really be able to get the best out of. Thibodeau, I think, would be able to turn him into an even better defender. The X factor with Okoro is he going to be able to knock down open shots? You don't know how that will play out at the next level. But it seems like if you're drafting for a Tom Thibodeau coach team, you draft Isaac Okoro, and then you try to figure out your lead guard spot maybe in the next draft or maybe in free agency or maybe via trade. So I think that's the way they would go, although I wouldn't be stunned if they took Tyrese Haliburton given the players available the way this mock has played out.
Isaac Okoro, many believe, is the best perimeter defender in the draft, so this would make sense for Tom Thibodeau. 6'6", 225 pounds, and as you mentioned, it would be a good player for Thibodeau to groom for life in the NBA. Ian Begley, always a pleasure, and I appreciate your time, and thank you for helping us out here in our 2020 mock draft.
Tim, pleasure is all mine, man.
That's Ian Begley, who covers the New York Knicks, and the Knicks with their pick number 8 on the board, and they end up taking Isaac Okoro of Auburn. Physical tools for an NBA wing. Many believe he's one of the best defenders in this draft and maybe the best perimeter defender in the draft. He still has some work to do, but a very intriguing prospect for Tom Thibodeau and the New York Knicks. I'm Tim Roy. We continue to mock the 2020 NBA draft here at Warriors.com, Warriors Sound, and SoundCloud.com/Warriors. The Washington Wizards are on the clock.